Well, good morning this morning. Good to see all those here. Good to see a few visitors. There's many of our folk away, some up at the NBF and others travelling. And so we are glad you came here this morning to meet with us. If you have your Bible this morning, turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27 this morning. And we're continuing on in our series in young David before he became king. And we are getting close to the end. We're not very far off the end of this series, but we've still got maybe a couple to go. 1 Samuel chapter 27. I'm just going to read verses 1 to 7 and then we'll pray. 1 Samuel chapter 27 and reading from verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coast of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, the king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahoyanim, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. We thank the Lord for his word. Let's pray and commit this time to the Lord. Let's pray. We thank you, dear Lord, for your word, and we thank you for the truths of your word. And Lord, we thank you that your word is a living word and it speaks to us every day. And Lord, in these few moments we spend looking at your word this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit will open your word to us and bring new truths to light, truths we can apply to our lives. And Lord, we thank you for this time and we pray that you'll be with us, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time I spoke was Father's Day, and I spoke on the subject of a respect for our fathers and the respect that David had for King Saul. King Saul was his father-in-law, even though he had given his wife to another man. King Saul was the king of the land, and so there was a respect that David had for him that was clear to see, and we looked at that respect last time where we looked at young David. I believe most of the last 20 messages or so on young David, we're up to over 20 messages now, they've mostly been positive. David has made good decisions for the most part. But this morning we see in our series, we find David at a low point, I believe, in his life. And the title I've called the message this morning, Don't Trust Your Heart. Don't Trust Your Heart. And I'd like to look, and I'll start at verse 1. And we see these words, and David said in his heart. I've called my first point simply, David trusts his own heart. David here makes a decision on his own, based on his own heart. David said in his heart, or said in his own heart, by himself. In many decisions David makes, if we'll look back, we see he calls Abiathar the priest. He asks for his advice. He calls upon God. He asks God before making a decision. But in this decision we see David make, we don't read any of that. David, it says here, then David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Do you know, if you go out into the world today and you talk to the average person down the street, you'll find these words said. The world says, follow your heart. The world says, you have to believe in yourself. The world says, you need to have endless self-confidence in yourself. The world says, you have a good heart, just follow your heart. The world says, you need to make it on your own. The world says you can make it on your own. But the Bible says differently. Do you know the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, 19, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? David wrote in Psalm 14, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. David's son Solomon, many years later, would write these words, Proverbs 28 and 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. You know, friends, this morning, even as Christians, the devil wants to try and trick us into following our own heart. Instead of following the Lord, instead of consulting the Lord and asking the Lord before making decisions, the devil just wants us to follow our own heart. We find David here, I believe, is in a melancholy mood. He has a moment here of doubt. He is discouraged due to the length of the trial he has been in, with King Saul constantly hunting for him. It seems like this pattern has been going over and over and over. And this morning, I believe, we find David making a sudden decision that lacked faith, that lacked trust in God. Where did David's faith go to? David was human just like us. He became discouraged just like us. It seems as if he wanted God to take away the trial, just like we sometimes want God to take away the trial in our lives. We read there, he says, I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. His faith gave way to fear. His courage turned to despair. His positive attitude that he's had all the way through now becomes a negative one. Just for this short moment, it seems, for this decision he's made. The second thing I'd like to see is David now turns to the enemy. This once great king, David, before he became king, he questioned the courage of the Israelites when they were fighting the Philistines. He went and questioned their courage when the great giant of Gath, Goliath, came out and defied the armies of God. Do you remember young David? He marched in front of the men and said, who's going to take on the giant? His brothers condemned him for his courage. And it seems now he's going to run to the same country that giant came from. Run to the Philistines for shelter from King Saul. To that land with no regard for God. To that land of men who defied God. The Philistines would have been triumphant. David, the young man who defeated their champion, is now running to them for shelter. Had he forgotten that Samuel had anointed him to be the next king? Had he forgotten the promises of God? Had he forgotten God's hand on his life? No, he hadn't. He'd just become discouraged. He was just down. He just says these words. You can hear it. There is nothing better for me. Nothing better. Young David was just down. He was just down. And sometimes, you know, when trials come, sometimes they're not due to any decision that we have made, like they were here for David. Sometimes these trials come into our lives through nothing that we have done. They're just sent to try us. There will be times, if you haven't faced them yet, when our faith will be tested, when the trial will be long, as it was here for David, when the trial seems to go on and on. Do you know a well-known verse here, 1 Corinthians 10:13? There hath no temptation, or the word there, temptation, means trial. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What was the temptation here for David? What was the temptation here? The temptation was just to give up, wasn't it? The trial was going on for too long. You can hear his words of defeat. There is nothing better for me. Many a poor decision has been made in life to these words. There is nothing better for me. I only have one choice. There is nothing better for me. I have to do this. I believe many of us would have said or heard these statements before in our own lives. I know I've said it in mine. When this happens, I wonder, do you say in your heart, like David did, this is it, there is nothing better for me? All of us in our lives will face trials. All of us will face circumstances that try us. When I get to this part of the story, I feel as if someone out of David's army should have shouted out to David, David, God is still there. David, God is faithful. David, do you remember the victories that we had? Do you remember that? But sometimes in the trial, you can't see past the trial. Hey, David, God is good. God is still there. As I think this morning, brethren, are you suffering a trial? God is faithful. God is good. God is still there. You've probably heard that statement. If God seems so far away, guess who has moved? You know, sometimes we just doubt for a moment, and that moment can be a decision we make in our lives. God is still here. Have you called upon him about this yet? Have you called out? Have you laid it out to the Lord in prayer? You think of that hymn, you know, take everything to God in prayer. He knows what we can handle. He's made the way of escape that we will be able to bear it. And Ron Hamilton, many of us know the tune of that hymn, God never moves without purpose or plan. I rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. He's there with us in the trial. We find David here. He did not ask God what his plan was for his life here. We don't read it there. Even Great men like David can make a mistake in a trial like David did. Well, the next part of the story goes on, and I've called this third point, David takes his family with him. In 1 Samuel 27 and verse 2, we'll just read from verse 2, and it says, "And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives." So we find David and his men here go over into the land of the Philistines. This is the land of the Philistines, who were the armies of the children of Israel, the enemies of the children of Israel, and indeed the enemies of God. These people did not worship God or regard God at all. In fact, they worshipped so many different other gods just to defy the God of Israel. Do you remember Goliath the giant, when he came to David, when David came to him, he said that he cursed David by his gods. Do you remember that? These men were men who were evil men. Well, David takes his family and goes into the land of the Philistines. Well, do you remember this is not the first time that this has happened to David? Back in 1 Samuel 21, David tried to run to the Philistines before. And it says in 1 Samuel 21 and verse 10, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul." This was a lot of time before this. It had happened before. "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did not they sing one another in his dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrambled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard." This has happened before to David. The last time he was not very well received. The killing of their hero Goliath was too fresh in their minds. The dances of the women singing about David's triumph over their great champion Goliath was too recent. But this time we find it's different. Achish, the king of Gath, welcomed David and his men into his land. It doesn't tell us why. Maybe he thought he would be able to win him over as a comrade. Maybe he thought he would be able to make an alliance with Israel after he became king. But if we read here, it tells us in verse 12, in the last verse of the chapter, what he was thinking. Have a look in verse 12 of chapter 27. It says, "And Achish believed David, saying, He hath made his people Israel to utterly abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever." See, the Achish let him in because he thought, David now will become my servant. David will now bow to me. And you know, as I thought about this and as I thought about David and his men going into that Philistine country, I believe you have to be careful where you take your family. Your decisions don't affect just you. If you have a family, your decisions don't affect just you. Your decisions affect your family and affect the lives of your family. Do you know, your compromise doesn't just affect you, it can affect your family as well. Who you associate with can affect your family. David and his men took their families into that wicked land. Their families would see the Philistines worshipping the gods of Baal. And if we think about this, it's a sad thought when the trial was so great that he had to run to the enemy land. What a sad sight to see David and his men in the land of the Philistines. And it tells us there, if we go on in verse 4, and it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again after him. King Saul had accomplished his task, didn't he? He felt like he had won. He had run David out of the land of Israel. But God still had a plan for David's life. Point number 4, I'd like to see David's town in the Philistine country. Verse 5, it says this, "And David said unto Achish, If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day." The king of Gath gives David his own city, gives David and his men and his families their own city. A city that would never ever return back to the Philistines. This was a city that was on the southern side of Judah. And this city would become joined to Judah after he became king. See, God still had a plan for David. God, even though David, I believe here, had failed and gone into the land of the Philistines, God still had his hand on his life. David's decision to trust his own heart put his men and his families in that country, but God looked after them, didn't he? God gave him his own city. God gave him a city so they wouldn't have to dwell in that wicked city of Gath. God looked after him. God honored him, even though he had fallen. And it says in verse 7, "And the time that David dwelt in that country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months." A year and 4 months. God still honored him, didn't he? God still looked after him. You know, as we look at our own hearts this morning and we ask the question, are we trusting our own hearts? Do we trust our own hearts? Don't trust your heart. Many years later, David's son Solomon would pen these words, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Don't trust your own heart. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, the trials of life will not cease to come. The trials of life will not cease to consume us. The trials of life will not cease to keep trying to get us to fall. But if we trust the Lord, he will get us through those times, just as he did David. He will still bless us through those times, just as he did David. Through this trial, David ended up with another city to join onto Judah when God brought that time where he made him king. God used it for good. The devil would have been rubbing his hands together when they entered that land, but God still had his hand on David and his men and guided them through it. And even though he trusted his heart, and I believe made a poor decision there to enter that land, God still honored him. God still kept him through it, guided him through it. No matter how great the trial, no matter how long the trial, don't trust your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. I believe David, still through this time, loved and honored the Lord. There's no doubt about that. As we go on, we'll see that God still got a plan for his life. We'll see that God delivers him in the not too distant future. The trial is coming to an end. But this morning, let's look at our hearts. Are we overcome with burdens and fears? Are we saying these words, there is nothing better for me? I've just got to take matters into my own hands. This morning, the remedy for this is those verses in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This morning, the challenge is, are we trusting the Lord with all our hearts? Don't trust your heart. Trust in the Lord this morning. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the story of David, and Lord, for how great a man he was, how he loved you with all his heart, how, Lord, you said he was a man after your own heart. But Lord, he still faced trials like we do today. Lord, help us through these trials. Lord, help us through these times where we think the trial is too great. Help us, Lord, not to trust our own hearts, but just to trust you. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.